Recording in progress.
I'd like to call the February 19th meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please rise, face the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I hope I got enough ink in my pen for all the notes I'm going to be taking tonight.
There you go.
All right, let's do roll call. Judy.
Here.
Mark.
Present.
Tim, here. I'm looking at you, not saying your name. Brian.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
There we go. Linda.
Here.
And Brian. Kevin.
Here.
There we go. All present and accounted for. So, new business. There is no new business. Old business. The Tanglewood is scheduled for March 5th. It's continued to March 5th. The second one, case number 24-009. Diamond Hill subdivision. They contacted us this afternoon, and they asked to continue it. So that is continued. We do not have a date certain yet, or do we?
They asked for March 5th. I did email them back suggesting that the second meeting might be better, but as of right now, March 5th is the date certain.
Glad be a busy night. Yeah. We had them both. Crowded.
Yeah, but who knows, yes. You're right. If they'll both be ready or not. So that ends kind of the formal part of the meeting, but just to let people know, too, on status on this, they have been going through in-depth discussions with Jeff and with Dan at Stantec. They've been on a site visit. They've had face-to-face meetings. They've gone over a lot of things in terms on Diamond Hill, okay. In terms of road access, in terms of the cul-de-sac and drainage and the like. They've gone through quite a bit of back and forth on that.
Have they looked at the road with that first house? You know how you're going to get the water from the road now. That's going to be, it'll be their road. It'll wash into there and could potentially affect that first house.
You know, I don't know a lot of details. I do know that they have discussed that they're getting an easement to make it more of a 90-degree meeting up with Diamond Hill Road. Okay. And I know they have discussed, and they are taking the retention pond out of the center of the cul-de-sac, and they are moving it farther down the hill
to grab some of that coming down the hill.
Yeah. So right, it was originally going to, you know, come down the road, basically go to catch basins, come down the road, and be in a retention pond in the middle of the cul-de-sac. All right. I remember we all looked at the map and said we understood why, because that was kind of a natural collecting point, but both Jeff and the town engineer, there's problems with doing that, right? Jeff didn't like it because of snow removal and maintenance of the thing and everything, and Dan didn't like it because Jeff as well. Anytime you have standing water, you know, abutting the road like that, it's going to seep in and cause erosion and problems. So they
shunt it away.
They have agreed to move that farther down. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have any details about the drainage at the top end of the road. I do know that there's concerns still, and I don't know any resolution on it yet because it still hasn't been. That's part of the reason they continued. They're not
fleshed out yet.
They weren't ready to address all these issues that were brought up to them, right? And as we noted when we looked at the plans, there was some of those driveways were pretty nasty, so there's some grading issues and the like too on some of those lots in terms of house placement and the like that Jeff and Dan have asked them to take a look at as well.
So the road agent, I thought, why would they be involved in driveways?
The road agent decides where the driveway comes out.
But the other thing is,
if the driveway's too steep coming down and it's going to flood out the road, then he would have a concern with that.
And the other part of it, too, is Jeff mentioned that his concern too is, you know, going back in history to what we saw in New Boston, that if these slopes are too steep with a driveway coming down them, everything could end up in the road. And that's something that we'd be concerned about too, right? Because it was one thing we all mentioned. We looked at the maps. We were like, you know.
Because if that becomes a town road, then once we accept it, we own it.
Correct.
Now, what about how steep the slope is? What is the angle, the percent? Because I know that was a discussion a while ago.
Well, you technically can't build in town over a 20...
25,
I believe.
Yeah.
I think that came from Brian.
Not degree, but percent.
Percent, right.
Yeah.
So what is the percent of that slope?
I don't know. We didn't get to that point yet in the, you know, because when we came in, we determined there were so many deficiencies. We didn't get into that.
That's probably why they have the discussion with the engineer.
Yeah.
About the driving places.
Yeah.
Because when I walked it a few years ago, it's pretty steep at one point. It just basically drops. So whatever they're going to...
Yeah, but also remember, too, they got... I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head how much acreage they're leaving open, but they got 73 acres, and they're asking for 9 lots.
Yeah, that's all in the back, though. Yeah. That'll abut the rail trail.
Yeah, so I don't know how far down that gradient going down they're going.
Well, that's not even where it's steep. It's steep as the road's going to go in, and then your cul-de-sac is going to be at the bottom, that part of that.
Yeah. You get the
yeah. I don't know if we should be talking about it.
I know, I wondered the same thing.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't be talking. I mean, I'm just giving you a status update. Mm-hmm. So okay. Yeah. But that's kind of where that's at this point, and that's why the delay.
So just there's 4 lots above the cul-de-sac on the 27th side of the road and 5 below it. So in my recollection of walking the property, the uphill side wasn't terribly steep. There was the first couple lots were not really very steep at all. It got more steep as you went further down the drive.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem terribly steep. The really, really steep part was below the road where it does. It's okay, and then it plummets. And there was just cascading water along the entire length of it. And so it seems to me engineering, doing some hydrological channeling would be advantageous to people downhill from it, because the natural flow is just a cascade.
Yeah. Well, I think what we want to make sure, and it's actually a good thing that the road does slope right from Diamond Hill pretty much, so that it will naturally run into their catch base and stuff. And that's what we want to make sure that that's what it does.
I got a question actually for Amy. Did we update the steep slopes regulation?
We never did that.
No.
No.
See, Rudy had me do that 6 years ago, and it kept getting delayed.
Yeah.
But we were supposed to update
that
steep slopes regulation. Maybe that's something we should be looking at.
We started talking about it.
We did, and Rudy developed subcommittees. You and I were on a steep slope one and another one, and that never got air.
Yeah. I mean, I'd certainly, one of the things that I figured since we had absolutely nothing to talk about tonight that I did, if we go to 7 o'clock and I'm still talking, you have the right to shut me up. But I'll
put a timer on.
Yeah, please do. Because all I'm doing this for is just... because I think we need to look at the subdivision regs and start to pick at some things. And I'm doing this. This is not a discussion. And sorry, Scott, I can't give you a copy. This is not a discussion that we're going to have tonight in terms of what the answers are, but it's more...
Kevin could take a picture and text me, probably.
I was already doing it.
Because there is a lot of stuff in the subdivision regulations that we really need to kind of review and think about. And like you say, steep slopes, I mean, you know, we should look at that regulation. I think what we were looking at originally with under Rudy was something that we most of us felt was a little too restrictive, like anything over 10% grade.
Right.
You know, but we need to think about that. And again, in the HOP grant, we can get StanTech time to go through that. But I just picked out a few here that
You missed number two. We were supposed to do that one, too.
Yeah,
WD-67, yeah, we're going to do 40.
That is one of the ones that I wanted to talk about right there. And because I asked, Jeff is pretty stuck on staying with the 67 for snow removal and all that stuff. I'm of the same opinion. So what I've asked Dan at StanTech to do is to provide us with some other towns' ordinance on that cul-de-sac. Because I agree, in a residential neighborhood, 125-foot cul-de-sac, when there's not going to be multi-directional traffic.
Well, the other thing, the reason we granted so many waivers is because they were private roads.
Right.
So we don't have to worry about the plowing issue.
Right, but this would be for ones that are public roads, right? On a private road, yeah, we don't have to worry about it. As long as the school bus can get in there and the fire equipment can get in there, that's all we care about.
Right, but that's why we were saying the WB-40 is the fire equipment can get in there.
Correct.
This WB-67, that's more for tractor-trailers.
That's an over-the-road tractor-trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're building roads to that, that's over and excessive.
I believe so.
I believe so, too.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I want to do is, because Jeff has said he doesn't want to come off of the WB-67, I want us to be able to speak intelligently as to why.
Right. I mean, we even had the fire chief agreeing with us on this one. Because I remember when we were asking him about that with the fire equipment, he was saying that WB-40 well under it. And that was also Brian Ruoff's opinion.
Yep. Yeah, he agreed that the 40 was fine.
Yep. Yep. So that's one that we're going to want to do, right? And, okay. And like, if you look at number three, here's another perfect example of these regulations were written for commercial, not for residential, right? So number three should be, you know, in commercial or industrial, not residential, right?
Yeah. Can I ask a basic clarification question? So this is major site plan. If it's a private road, it's like that one on High Street, there was going to be three duplexes. That's a major site plan, even though it was going to be a private
that
road.
It wasn't a subdivision.
But it's okay, but this doesn't say subdivision. It says site plan.
These are the major subdivision regulations that I've copied here.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah, I should have clarified that up front. But this is the major subdivision, right? And that didn't go under any of that because that was not a subdivision.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so with the major site plan regulations, this would cover even commercial areas?
There is a specific section on
commercial. Then I can understand the argument for the WB-67.
Correct.
For a commercial, but if it's a residential, we should have it, the flexibility to...
But this doesn't differentiate. And that's kind of what we need to do, just like designated area striped for delivery vehicles, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that on all the roads now that we
right
everybody drives. I mean, yeah. So they we park say wherever they
for,
want them.
We should say for commercial and industrial, yeah. Right? And the same thing for the WB-67
mm-hmm. Right.
For commercial and industrial, and come up with what we want for residential,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Or you can just say except for residential. I mean, that's less wordage,
right? Yeah, whatever. Yep. And then the other thing I want to check with StanTech on here is number four, right? Pavement slope shall be shall be 1% with a maximum of 4% for parking and parking aisles.
That's commercial.
So again, that's commercial, right? You know, if someone's parking area in their driveway is at greater than 1%, I don't think that's, you know.
So these regulations. 1%
is pretty freaking flat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been on some paving jobs. It was more like 50.
Yeah.
So these regulations are covering both residential and commercial. Yeah. It doesn't separate out. So, yeah. I kind of like, though, I like less words, but also I like for commercial and in industrial. You know, I like that right. Added, and that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the 40 would be residential.
Right.
Right.
Because yeah. You're not going to have a tractor trailer come
exactly.
to your house.
No. But the school bus does meet, because there's no turnaround on Diamond Hill. Right. So the school bus meets on 27.
Right.
Mm.
And
the kids go there.
Wow.
And just like D says, parking lots, service areas, pedestrian walkways, roadways, lighting shall be provided by freestanding fixtures with cutoffs, blah, 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 blah. Again,
we waive that a lot in residential ones.
Right. So we
less
that's
illumination,
another,
better.
That's another thing that we want to kind of do that. And again, this is why I figured this would be a good thing to do tonight. We're not getting into any in-depth, but, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. So I think that's the key thing that I'm, you know, picking up on all this. And then if you look at the other sheet, So this is, you know, what's general requirements. If you look at A, this one here, I want to actually strengthen this one a little bit. I want to strengthen these a little bit, I think, because the site shall be of such character that it can be demonstrated that it can be used safely without excessive grades, inadequate drainage, or other hazardous conditions. I kind of would kind of like to see us, you know, you kind of almost read that they're just talking about grades and and drainage, right? You know, we need to, I think, have it firmed up a little bit in terms of, you know, hazardous conditions or you know, safety issues and, you know, that we can use a little more aggressively when we need to.
That is so awfully worded.
I know.
The whole thing is awfully worded.
Totally.
Oh, my God.
Even when I heard him reading it, I was like, what?
The site shall be of such character that it can be demonstrated that it
can be used.
Yeah, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. We need to rewrite. Mm-hmm. We need to rewrite that one. And also B, similarly, it talks about, you know, safeguard against, you know, site, the guard against such conditions that would involve danger to health, safety, or property by undesirable and preventable elements of pollution. I don't think we need to add that developments, you know, of pollution on there. I think that can come out. I mean, we don't want anything that would provide, that would do any of that, whether it's got to do with pollution or not.
I mean, that's already covered, indeed.
Yeah.
Really, when the state gives you this.
But you know, you put that caveat in there, and that the pollution caveat in there, and suddenly somebody's got a reason to litigate it.
Yeah.
So the planning board originated this document?
Correct. This does not need to be voted on.
We
need to have a public hearing on it, but it does not need to be voted on.
So this is from April of 19, so it wasn't that long ago, really. Did we cut and paste this from someplace else?
I'm sure that was transferred over from the previous document.
Yeah. So this is also why, you know, and we may do some stuff before we get through the HOP grant piece, but this is also why I want to have StanTech look at this and use the HOP grant to get StanTech input on a lot of this. Because
that next one is probably referring to, like, outside furnaces.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's already heavily regulated by the state. I mean, you can only buy units that are now approved by the federal government and the state of New Hampshire.
Right. They're all on.
I mean, and,
but yeah, you can see. I mean, I think the first page that we talked about there.
Yes,
that's. Those are glaring examples of the situations we have in the zoning ordinance. I mean, in the regulations. This is why, you know, people in town, it causes problems with the applicant because they've got all this extra work they got to do, request Correct. All these waivers, and then when we approve waivers, even though they're mundane and they're waivers we kind of want, suddenly everybody gets upset because you gave that development 7 waivers.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, did you really want granite curbing? Did you really want 16-foot high streetlights?
You know? Yeah. So your thought is hand this to StanTech with hot money and have them redo this. My concern is they will likely cut and paste from other places. Like when Rudy created that steep slope document, it was grabbing stuff from other places and it was completely untenable for us, right?
No, my plan, Kev, is that for us to drive that bus, not them. Right.
When we were doing the steep slopes, I think when you and I were talking about it, right. We were looking at the state regulation.
Right. Yeah. But so many towns had created this additional burden. And when I asked Rudy, what percentage of towns going to be affected? I have no idea. It's, okay, we can't really pass an ordinance. Right. Yeah. And we have no idea what the ramifications are. That's not right.
Yeah, there was like a ridge top thing too, which was telling people what they could use for windows and siding and we weren't for that. Yeah. We were like, nope.
No, I'm not.
I'm concerned about cut and pasting.
Yeah, I've never lived in a town, nor do I ever want to live in a town that tells you what color house you have to have, that you can't have your garage door open, that you know you can't have your garbage cans beside your garage. I'm just not living in that town.
That was our town, the historical district.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But I can imagine historical, yeah.
And only could have white Christmas lights?
No Christmas lights.
Really?
Oh, candles.
No flags? No flags waving?
No, you could have a flag.
A flag?
A flag. Your windows had to be like, remember all the windows?
What address?
Oh, all of Hobart. Oh, I grew up on Hobart and then moved right to Loras Road. But that was historical district. But we don't have a historical district here.
We have some historical sites, but not a district.
Yeah, not a district, but the sites.
Right. Well, the sign on the high street says historical district.
Right.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
But they don't have to.
But it's not legislatively.
No. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, that noise and vibration, it's kind of weird because we really don't have a noise ordinance in the town.
But what this, and I read that and I was like, well, I can guarantee you most of the houses in town generate more than, you know, 45 decibels at given times during the course of the day.
Yeah, I'm almost especially wondering if that wasn't because of the quarry.
I know, that's what I thought immediately.
Yeah. And I guess it's not a bad idea. Again, for the commercial or industrial site, right? Because let's say somebody comes in here and wants to do some drop forging, right?
Yeah, right.
You know,
half the town shoots in the backyard.
Right.
And there's no ordinance against it. So,
correct.
Thankfully.
Yeah, and, but again, the reason for that in here is
commercial. So you can't have it for them, but not for everybody else, right?
But I'm with Mark on that one as far as the quarry, and I mean, maybe we have a special section for excavation and it would be covered in that.
Well, no, I mean, I think we can leave it in there,
yeah.
Right? Because the house isn't going to generate, like, this is not a regulation that governs any existing activity. It's just that when a new development comes in, right?
During development, you're saying?
During development, it's excluded. But during development, it has to be
What is considered harmful?
You know,
people shooting in the backyard
over 120, I think.
That's what I don't like about that one.
But we
need it for the commercial side.
Correct.
If you got quarries or something like that coming in, then they're blowing, they're using dynamite and
right. And like drilling, I said, some big. And that's not that it's ever going to happen, but you know, if you don't put it in there, it could happen that the some foundry wants to come in or a forging place or
impulse noise greater than 140 dB will hurt your hearing.
Well, maybe, and maybe we could, for the residential, say, you know, nothing, you can't shoot anything above a 30-06 in your backyard or something, you know, keep the noise down.
Well, it depends on how much Tannerite you put out.
No fully automatics.
Exactly.
So I just kind of wanted to share the, you know, and I haven't necessarily figured out, maybe I take for, you know, some other time when we've got time to prepare for it, take some sections of this and we sit down and really hammer them through, and then we can provide that kind of our thoughts to StanTech and also as far as the technical side of things, you know, ask them, you know, maybe for residential, we don't have the 4% limit, right? We probably shouldn't, but should we have a 20% limit or something, right? Because you don't want somebody's parking area to be like that necessarily. I'm just...
The problem, right? As I see it, is as lay people, we really have no real idea of what a 4% versus an 8% really is.
Right.
I know I don't. In my mind, I think I do. I'm sure up against an engineer, I would be wrong every time.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. We drive the bus, right? We sit there and say, these are the changes we see that we'd like to make, mm-hmm. or, you know, is that adequate or should it be steeper, you know, that type of thing, and let them then come back technically and say, now, you guys didn't think about this. Oh, yeah, we didn't, right?
Right, because, I mean, this one, B1, that doesn't say it's just for outside furnaces. That could be bonfires, could be anything. You know, maybe we need to specify, you know, outdoor furnaces should need to meet this air quality.
I don't even think it's required to have any, because like I said, the state and federal government have already, they've already got regulations standards on any of them.
Or just get rid of that one. Then.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Less is better.
Yep.
In my mind.
Yeah.
2 minute warning.
All right.
Good one, Kevin.
So, the only other thing, these I just had Amy put in the package in case, because this morning they were coming in, so
yep.
I had Amy
yes,
put
them. Yes, please keep them in your folder.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the only reason those are in there. And the only other thing we have left is the
minutes.
I read them. I got nothing.
I read them too, and I thought to myself, "Hey, it's come a long way."
Thank God. Yeah, that.
Blessing.
So, motion.
Motion to accept as written.
Second.
Second.
Second. We'll just do a yay or nay. All those in favor of accepting the minutes.
Aye.
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 Perfect.
Your wife didn't.
Abstained.
No, I yeah, she did.
Abstained one.
You abstained. One abstained.
Because I wasn't there.
Abstained. And.
Motion to adjourn,
because there's no public.
One more, just a quick announcement. Is we did hire a new building inspector. I don't know if you were aware that Robert did resign. Oh. So, and he came in today to do some inspections, and he said he came right in and was comfortable getting right into it and doing the inspections, and he starts Monday full time. So.
What's his name?
William.
Dinsmore.
And where's he from?
Northwood.
Okay. Who's his mother? Who's his father?
So is he full-time?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's extremely interested in looking at the zoning regs and stuff. So I told him we would definitely look forward to that.
Yeah.
Is his experience?
Yes, very much. He was a building inspector in Stratham. And where was the other one?
Two other towns. It's escaping me.
And he left Stratham because it was too far of a commute from Northwood. It was just a little too much because he says he's very strong family. He's got five kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he liked the idea that it was an environment where it was some flexibility there where you could do family things too.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So,
cool.
I'm excited about that. We still have two other positions to fill.
Yes.
Land use coordinator and Kim upstairs. It's going to be a tough one.
Indeed.
We haven't got any qualified applicants on that yet.
She's a bookkeeper?
Yeah, she's an accounting specialist. But she was awesome. We were lucky to have her. It's too bad she's...
Who left?
Kim.
Oh,
upstairs.
Okay.
She has health issues, so she had to leave.
And that's the one Melissa Madden is?
Melissa works with her.
Okay.
Melissa is still doing our payroll and some receivables, but yeah.
Okay.
But she's not interested in doing any more than what she was doing part-time, so.
Yeah, I would welcome William to look at the regulations and the ordinances, because I know Bob never opened the book.
He already asked me for a copy today. I gave him
one. But he never looked at it when he was here, because he would call me up and ask me questions, and, you know, it's like, you know, so the business that was doing car repair is going to change to changing names and going to be doing front-end alignments. Does that need to go in front of you guys? No, didn't you read where it says, you know, it's, you know, non-material changes are just
Done alike.
To the best of your knowledge, is the some people love regulations, and some people don't love regulations as much. Right. Any idea what the pulse is on this guy?
I think he's just conservative enough where, you know, maybe they need to be looked at, and we agreed. You know, yeah, they do. I said the problem is it never seems to be enough time to review them and really study what should stay and what should go, possibly.
Yeah.
Which is great on adding stuff, but not cleaning house sometimes.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem when you know, you look at the regulations, right? You know, we're never going to have the time to do, unless the housing market absolutely shits the bed, we're never going to have time to comprehensively go through these.
No.
We're going to have to pick...
But if he comes up with a few suggestions along the way, that's great.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to do a section at a time or something to say, are we all good with this section? All right, move on to the next one. Because, yeah, but that would be great. Any help we can get, especially now that Amy's doing double duty.
Yeah.
All right. Now.
There was a motion to adjourn already.
Well, there was a motion to adjourn.
I seconded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And you were starting roll call, and we all said yay.
We all said yay. We all said yay.
The records, I remember.
Let the record show we are adjourned.